How do we help readers see our world? What do we need to create? What can we adapt from reality? What are stomping grounds? Maybe you say, I'm writing a contemporary mystery or romance. Do I need world building? Yes, you definitely do. What do we consider when we build worlds? This episode in Envisioning Your World can definitely help. Welcome to The Right Focus. We cover productivity, process, craft, and tools. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. All through the summer months, we focus on the craft of writing novels and novellas and epics, from beginning ideas to prepping for publication, week by week by week. The episode for this week says, envision your world. We're building the world of our novel. As with any of these early sections, if you want to skip right on past and start writing, you may. They will sit here waiting on you when you run into a stoppage, and you will. Having background information prevents a lot of the barriers that interrupt white-hot creative flow. By the way, don't call any stoppage writer's block. It usually means that the novel is missing something, or it could be assorted fears, which is what drives procrastination, or inertia, or stagnation, which won't happen if you keep moving forward. What matters is that you are writing what you love and are having fun while you're writing. You may not have a lot of countable words this week, but you will definitely have work that will show your novel advancing. First, we determine our fictional locations and our real locations. Yes, it's perfectly fine for a writer of fiction to use real places, yet even novels that have real locations add in fictional places to suit the author's need for locations. Every book in Paris will have a mention of the Eiffel Tower, the burnt Notre Dame Cathedral, the Louvre, or Rive Gauche. The people in those locations and the events happening to them will be fictional. The Paris Café, where the protagonist meets her friends for crepes and coffee before heading off to sketch tourists, should come wholly out of imagination. We might base that café on one that we have seen, or even when we had crepes and coffees, for our own petit déjeuner. Our imagination can give the place a new name, a new waiter, and a new street where it can lead to the same. We might base our novel on events that really happened, yet our take on the people and those events will be fictional. While real people in these places dealing with these events might be fascinating, any professional writer will advise to steer away from a documentary reality when writing fiction. To write about actual people of the past 50 years is to open our arms and embrace lawsuits. This is a sad commentary on reality. Someone's life might fascinate, but their family may not be fascinated by our writing. We can always have famous and infamous people walk through our stories. Their entry provides verisimilitude. Adding them is not wholly necessary, though, and they do not have to take an active part. How do we create our world? Well, already we have in mind various areas where we want events to occur. We may have vivid visions of those places. We could have taken photographs or found images online, either through browsing or looking for specific places, in stock photo retailers like Shutterstock, or deposit photos and the like. Or we may simply have a general description, local bar filled with smoke, the Willow Pond with its overflow dam, the glass-encased office building with its high-speed elevators. We may think we are specific when we think Frontier America before the Revolutionary War, or Bond Street in London during the Regency era, or the Battle of Hastings in 1066. These are places and times. Setting is more than place and time. It's also culture. Think about high school. How many cultures can you name? The drama geeks, the band nerds, the hoodies, the jocks, of which the football guys had a different culture from the basketballers who were different from the cross-country runners. And we haven't even touched the teachers, who have their own various cultures, not dependent upon their faculty domain, and who should never be confused with the administration are the support personnel, who are often more vital than administration in the running of a school. In each culture, the common behavior, focus, and personalities are vastly different. So when we think setting for each area, we should think about the different cultures who congregate in those places, often at different times. In any modern bar, we have different cultures entering, each giving the setting a different vibe. For example, people come in just after work, then leave after an hour or two, either to get something to eat or to stop procrastinating about going home to their non-loved ones. We have people who come in after dinner and linger all evening for various reasons. Some people start drinking at happy hour and continue until closing. The bartender's personality will be vastly different depending on the time. Our fellow workers, the grunt is the bartender in training who fetches the kegs or slices the lemons and limes or brings in the ice. We have the waiters competing for tips, undermining the new ones, ragging on the regular customers, flirting with the new guys. Reconsider the places in the story. Reconsider the times the characters will be there. Don't just think about what will happen in the novel when you look at setting. Think about what happens before novel events occur. Consider this world in its normal situation before conflict is introduced. Once we've considered the normal reality for the places we have imagined, do a little search on stock photo retailers. These images will help you describe the places for your potential audience and keep those descriptive details the same. Descriptive elements ground the audience into story. Having images in hand when we start the rough draft prevents our breaking the creative flow. Print them off. Label them. Stick the images where we see them as we write. So our first job for our first day of this week, with the settings we have located for our stories, determine what the environment is like when things are normal. Job 2, locate images to use when writing descriptions by browsing stock photo retailers. And then the third job is to create captions as labels with descriptive elements noted either as part of the captions or on the back of the images. Our second task this week is to figure out our stomping grounds. We need to know the stomping grounds of all the primary characters. A stomping ground is the local neighborhood. Friends, family, local hangouts, local shops and restaurants and groceries, people who serve as authority, and people who rebel against that authority. All of these are essentials for any stomping ground, and our characters interact with the people who inhabit these places. Consider religious, medical, educational, entertainment, and fitness locations. Add in the services that people need on a constant basis, such as gasoline stations. Take a drive around your own stomping grounds. Really see what's on each street and major side street. Now draw a rough map of the primary character's stomping grounds. Don't worry about neatness and precision. We should do this for both the protagonist and antagonist if the events of the novel place them in constant interaction. If areas in a house or a workplace are important to the primaries, then draw the building plan. If we know that a building complex or a multi-story building will provide several locations for scenes, draw that. How detailed does the map need to be? Generally, entrances and exits, including elevators, light sources, and basic layouts distinguishing public from private access are helpful. Closer details such as closets where people probably shouldn't hide, cubicles where people can get lost in the rat maze, side caves where monsters lurk will depend upon the requirements of the novel. Having these basic layouts of areas and buildings will save so much time later on. Until the moment we publish, these layouts are draft form. We can change them at will. Once we publish, save the layouts, but don't alter them. We can make additions, which is the primary reason not to become too detailed. Third, we're after the backstory. Backstory is one of those detailed information dumps that we, the writer, will need to have, but that readers will likely never see. Info dump is exactly what it says. We have information that we shove into a story when it serves no plot purpose or character revelatory purpose. It's a dump because readers will plow through and think, this is all junk that should have been thrown out. Worse, readers might start skimming to get past the info dump and miss a vital element when the story starts back. Then, when they get to the end, they believe the writer didn't put that vital element in and diss you because it was missing, which it isn't. We don't want to spend a lot of time on backstory. It's necessary, but not essential to story. So step A, map people. Mapping people means that you create the backstories for primaries and important secondaries. Backstories create motivation and automatic behavior reactions of people. Flinching at loud noises can have multiple causes. The backstory tells the reason that it occurs. We might write 150 to 200 words, but only use a snippet. To add 140 useless words to the story will become info dump, which we want to avoid. Never consider that backstory is useless. It adds depth and richness. It just doesn't go in the novel. Places also have backstory. The history of a particular place is not how it came to be. That history provides what happened to people in that place. Whether a tragic event occurred or the place's founding was important, we should consider a quick brief for each significant place. Remember, this brief will focus on people in that place. These backstories will be a mine of information as we write. They help provide opinions and automatic reactions of characters to other people's actions and reactions, as well as events and situations. Refer back to the work on the primary characters as you write your backstory. We may already have sketched out this information. Secondary characters are those who interact with the primaries throughout the story. Their backstories will be very brief. If you have in mind a tertiary character, which is third level down, with a strong motivation for betrayal or alliance, you may wish to add in their backstory. A character who provides only a snippet of vital information may also have a backstory, but only 50 words or so, and it really may not make it into the novel. That's our basic world. We know what it looks like. We have descriptive details for our primary characters' common places and cultures. We know the backstories for those stomping grounds. And we have details, but not too many. We want to start writing without having to stop and build, yet we also haven't become so specific that we cage our muse. Show the muse the basics of the world, and she will jump around with unexpected ideas while we write. And we still haven't covered major world building. That's coming up. Join us for world building details next week. Inspiration for this episode comes from Donald Murray. He reminds us that writing is not apart from living. Writing is a kind of double living. The writer experiences everything twice, once in reality and once more in the mirror, which waits always before and behind him. He's right. No matter the genre, whether we write contemporary world, mystery, Scottish romance, space opera, epic fantasy, historical epic, ancient horror, we build that world. We build it based on our own world. How our fictional world functions will be a reflection of the functioning of the world we live in. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Rooms from Writers, Inc. Books. All through the summer months, our focus is the craft of writing. We are discovering your novel from beginning idea to prepping for publication. We'll work through the process stages of foundations to story, envisioning the story, analyzing story before, during, and after the draft, harvesting the story through revisions and enhancements, and prepping the story for publication. Many of these preps and guides are useful setups for the National Novel Writing Month in November. That's writing only, you know, no idea work. We can also use this information to solve issues with stories that we've abandoned. All those stories are crying in the wilderness. Time to rescue them with the right focus. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Remember, whatever occurs, write on.